Well, good morning. Good seeing you. And boy, you guys remembered to turn your clocks up an hour, did you? Last night? Oh, I stayed up till 2:30. Turn my no. That's when I got up. So I could have waited. But anyway, it's good to be back with you this Sunday. Good to see all of you, of course. I really loved the song service of how it went, because, you know, a lot of times I'm always asking the Lord what message that he wants to share. What does he want to say? What do we need to hear today? And, of course, with all the problems in the world, things that are going on, a lot of worries and cares that we do have. And so we sang a song that, Hold Me Fast, and then Draw Me Close to You. And I think that's so important that that we realize that, I'll be honest, Jesus is all we need. Anybody thinks any different, you got a lot of worries. You got a lot of cares. You really do. And the only one and the only thing we need is Jesus. And he says that he'll supply all of our needs and take care of all the cares, and he'll see us through. So he'll hold us fast and deliver us where we have needs and the problems and all that that we might have. But God is so special, and Jesus is, he's our Savior, and he's our Lord. And so as soon as we make him that, it's so much better for you and for me and for all of us, really. So I'm just excited about the Lord and all that he does in our life with everything. You know, anymore, I'm learning that when a problem comes my way, I realize that God's got a problem, because I'm not picking it up. I'm just going to pray about it. I'm going to give it to the Lord, and I'm going to trust him with it. Amen? So in other words, when it comes, he's got a problem, because I know how to hand it off. So turn with me, if you would, to Romans chapter 5. I'm going to talk about something that the Lord gives us and something that he knows that we need, but a lot of times we don't realize we need it. And that is, we need to learn to be strong in his grace. Strong in his grace with everything that's going on in the world today. I want to read verses 1 through 5 in Romans chapter 5. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into his grace, in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Verse 3 now. And not only that, but we also glory. Now listen, this is a problem that a lot of us see, because we see things and we see this the wrong way. We need to look at seeing it much different than what we do see. So it says, but we also, now listen, glory in tribulations. Now, folks, I want to tell you, when you're living on your own and doing your own thing and trying to be your own righteousness and serve God and do everything right, you can't do it. You need Jesus. We need his grace, and we receive that and walk in it by faith, because he cares for us. So he says, glory in tribulations, knowing. Now, why should we glory? He says, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. And perseverance, character. And character, hope. And it says in verse 5, now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Father, we do thank you for your word this morning. Father, with all the cares of the world, all the issues and the problems, Lord, even the tribulations that were mentioned here, that's happening simply because we want to pray. But that's way too religious. The Father, we give that all to you, and help us now to realize, Lord, that the persecutions and the tribulations and the problems that are going on, Lord, teach us, Holy Spirit, how that we look at these in a much different way. Not as a threat or as a real problem, but Lord, as a time that you draw near to us as we draw near to you. And you hold us in your hand, Lord, and protect us through all of it as we learn to give it to you. So, Father, thank you. Teach us now, Holy Spirit, what we really need to see in all of this. In Jesus' name we pray. And we thank you, Lord. Amen. So this underscores the need for divine strength rather than our personal ability. Folks, there's a difference. There's a big difference in this. We try to do everything on our own, but our abilities are not good enough. Romans 4:16 says this. It says, therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace. Believing God, trusting him with it, and allowing his grace to work in our lives. And it changes things. You know, the word of God, a lot of times people don't take it real serious. It's like, yeah, that's good. Yeah, I see that. And then we go on. And it's like it's not really done anything in our lives because we don't take it really serious. And I think the word of God is so very serious. Folks, you notice people that sit in church every week? Every week, they do all the religious things, and yet they've not made the serious connection of really surrendering their life and receiving Jesus into their heart so that they can be saved. And so they can do all of the right things, and then when they die, the Lord says, Thomas says, I don't even know you. I don't know you. And they say, but Lord. And see, that's what the issue is taking the word of God very seriously. It's as a life and death walk by faith is what this is, word of God. A walk by faith in grace and committed to pleasing God rather than man. Do you ever try to please everybody? I used to. I gave up. Yeah, I still like to do that, but I gave up because you can't please everybody. You know, they might be happy with you one week and next week they can't stand you. But that's the way we are. That's the way people are. So I want to get serious with the Lord. Now let me ask you, what is grace? We're talking about by faith walking in grace. What is grace? Grace is God's free and generous gift that sustains, now listen, It's a gift that sustains, strengthens, and directs us through life's trials and tragedies. It can keep us faithful, strong, and committed to the Lord in faith. People say, oh, well, it's unmerited favor. Yeah, it's a gift. We don't earn it, other than learning by faith to trust God. And he gives us all of that. But see, this, you know, grace is a lot, isn't it? It's an awful lot. It sustains us, strengthens us, it directs us through life's trials and tragedies. That's where I get my faithfulness and my strength and my commitment. See, we can do so much, and our desire is, but really the end product is saying, God, I can't without you. No matter how hard I try. See, it's not about just my abilities, but rather it's by my willingness, my choice. Lord, I choose to serve you. And I want to tell you, I have not nailed it down yet where you can be perfect. You may be able to be perfect, but I want to tell you, I can't. I try hard, but I can't be perfect. Nor does the Lord command that we be perfect. He says, be holy. He says, be holy, for I am holy. Holiness is being set apart. It's making a choice. It's, Lord, I'm going to hell without you. No matter how good I try to be, I am not ever going to be good enough to earn salvation. See, that's why Jesus came. And that's why I cling to him. Jesus is our answer. He's our hope. And so in him and his grace, we can stand and we can be strong. So we must come, really we need to learn to come to the end of ourselves. You know, when I pray for a need or a circumstance or something, I'm voicing a desire to the Lord. You know, he says to ask and to seek and to knock. Now, those three words are really different, totally different in the meaning that Jesus meant. That's in Matthew 7:7, I believe, is where it says that, ask and ye shall receive, seek and ye shall knock. Or you shall receive when you seek and knock, it'll be open to you. And a lot of us are asking and doesn't seem to be happening. But see, we get to think, well, keep on asking. Well, maybe we need to get a few more people praying. So we get a prayer chain going, and then we get the whole church praying, and then we get, nothing wrong with that. But it's like, let me ask you this. I often thought, Lord, if you're not wanting to do it, let's say you're just not wanting to do it, can I get 200 people and change your mind? And if that don't work, can I get 500 people? Will that change your mind? How many people do I have to get to convince you to do what I'm asking you to do? See, Jesus said this. He says, if you ask anything according to my will, right? That he'll do it. That really, when you're asking, you ought to know what God's will is. And then you can receive it. Maybe I'll preach on that sometime. I don't know. I'm kind of off subject here, but I just thought I'd throw that out to you. But I just might preach on that some. Once I learn it, I'll preach it to you. I'll try to preach it to you. Let's continue on. The Lord humbles those he loves. and those that he wants to use. Proverbs 16:18 says, "Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall." Well, I'm so humble most of the time and proud of it. You know what I mean? So that's where we get. A lot of times you don't recognize your pride. But you know how sometimes your pride comes out? When somebody gives you a scripture or you hear it in church and you say, "Well, I don't believe that." That's you saying, "I know more than what the word is written down and what it's trying to say to me. So don't bother me with that. I've got it all together. I know more than God does." Isn't that pride? So I don't say that. What I do is, man, I want to look into the scriptures. I want to prove it. I'm going through my Bible and I'm looking. That's how I learn things. That's what it's. Most of us have pride. We don't even realize it. You know, when you get offended, that's pride. When you're angry, that's pride. Man, I walk sometimes with pride and I'm thinking I'm clean. I don't, Lord, I don't have the pride. I don't want that. And it isn't 5 minutes later, the Lord shows me I'm full of pride. I'm like, God, how'd that happen? So you've got to have a trust in Jesus, in the Lord. We need to learn to walk by faith in his grace. We can't do it in our own abilities. Isaiah 2:11 says this, "The eyes of the arrogant will be humbled and human pride brought low. The Lord alone will be exalted in that day." 1 Corinthians 10:12, "Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall." So let me ask you, have you been humbled before? How's that feel? Boy, that's why I fight pride, because the Lord always humbles me in front of everybody. I'm like, Lord. But see, we've got to deal with our pride and where we're at so that God can really use us and protect us and draw us close to him and give his grace to us and help us in our faith walk with him. It's so important. We need to be humbled. We need to come to the realization that it's really not about us. Y'all know that? It's really not about us. Now he wants us saved and wants to use us, but I want to tell you the gospel's about him. The gospel's about helping others. But a lot of times we take things as it's all about me. And that's why we get upset with people. That's why if they don't believe the same as you, then you sometimes push them to the side or blame them or whatever. See, there's a lot of things we need to look out for. That's why Proverbs 3 says this, 11 and 12, it says, "My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline. And do not resent his rebuke, because the Lord disciplines those he loves. As a father, the son he delights in." Folks, if you get corrected and things are happening in your life and you say, "Why?" You know, I used to be with the teachings that I've got before when I was first saved. Anytime some bad thing happened to me, I thought, "Lord, what did I do?" And then we blame ourselves, or I blame myself. because I had no idea why things were happening the way they're happening. I mean, God, I'm trying. I'm doing the best I know how. And yet these things would happen. Do you know, even as a young pastor in this particular denomination that taught that stuff, that I even hesitated to visit and pray for people in the hospital? Because see, I used to think, I don't know if you guys do that or not, but the way I was thinking is that, well, if God made them sick, they did something wrong, so God punished them by making them sick. Now they're in the hospital. Why should I go pray them out of God's will? Y'all see where I'm coming from? But folks, that's how some of this dumb teaching comes across to people. Now they don't understand. What are you talking about? See, it's God's desire to heal and to touch lives and to help people when they're hurting and when they're down and out. Isn't it? Isn't that what it's all about? Revelations 3:19 says this: all those I dearly love. Now, listen to this. This is the TPT translation. All those I dearly love, I unmask and train. How many people come to church with their mask on? Whoa, got one. You know, we come in, a lot of times we come in under pretense. Oh, I got it all together. Everything's good. How you doing? Oh, I'm doing great. And it's not true at all. I'm guilty of it. You guys probably aren't. I'm preaching to the wrong group, I know, this morning. But hey, at least you'll be able to recognize them, right? I've heard them coming in the parking lot of not this church, but others, arguing and fighting. And as soon as a door opens, praise the Lord. And they all go in and the kids are all frustrated, you know, because the kids don't wear the mask. They're all frustrated and some of them are crying and, you know, and they go in, think nobody, oh, shut up, I'm gonna, shut up. But see, that's life. But see, we've got to get away from our abilities and start trusting in God's ability. See, our lives are to be supernatural. Really is. We're to walk supernatural. We're supposed to be different than the world. So the Lord wants to get rid of the mask and to train us. So it says, and repent and be eager to pursue what is right. You know, let's look at Peter. I like beating up on Peter at times because he really shows some good things. Peter, most of the time I feel like I'm a Peter. You know, I always have my foot in my mouth, always, it seems. But anyway, when Jesus was telling his disciples that tonight you're all going to run away, you're all going to leave me. But Peter said, no, I won't. Lord, even though all of them run and leave, I won't. I'm staying with you. And then Jesus gave him the hard truth, which in his pride said, no, that won't happen. Luke 22, verses 31 through 33, it says this: and the Lord said, Simon, indeed, Satan has asked for you. Y'all need to realize that. When you're living for the Lord, Satan wants you. He wants to hurt you in the worst way. That's why we can't do this on our own. See, I need my daddy God. See, my daddy can beat everybody up, the world's daddy, which is the devil. That's why we need grace. That's why we got to learn to stand by faith. So he says, Simon, Satan has asked for you that he might sift you like wheat. Wow. But he said, but I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And then he says, and when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. See, folks, have you been humbled? Have you been humbled? I mean, really humbled by the Lord. I have, and I know exactly what the Lord is saying when you come back, because I left. I ran. But I did come back. And I thank the Lord for his power, his strength to draw me back. But I want to tell you, what that does is it takes everything out of you. You just want to die. God, just kill me. Just kill me. I can't take it anymore. And what you do is you totally die to yourself. You put yourself on that altar. God, just kill me. I'm not worth it. See, the Lord wants to take all of you out of you, and he wants to fill it all with him. And he needs to be our desire. If we're ever really going to walk by faith and have his grace. Peter was humbled. And 33, and he said, Lord, I am ready to go with you both to prison and to death. But we know what happened, right? Peter did deny Jesus. How about Moses? When the Lord called Moses out to lead the children of Israel out of bondage, what happened to Moses? Do you remember? It says the Lord attacked him and wanted to kill him. And that's when his wife, who I know Moses had talked to about circumcision for their sons, and she thought that was silly. That was dumb. We're not doing that to our son. That might be the old Hebrew way, but it's not happening to my son. And God attacked him, saying, you got to deal with it. As he deals sometimes with us, you got to deal with this. Quit covering it over. Quit pretending it doesn't really matter. And so what did she do? It says she took a flint knife and circumcised her son. And she said to Moses, you're a bloody husband. How about Jacob? Look at all that Jacob went through. He was a little conniver most of the time, wasn't he? There were so many things that he did through his life, just trying to make it around, and that's what we do. But yet, when he left his father-in-law, and he was going back home, or at least in that direction, told all his family, you go. He put them across this little spring there of the creek. And it says that he was alone. And then he wrestled with God. Folks, sometimes things are hard. Sometimes things we don't understand. Sometimes we got to wrestle with God. Jacob lost, but yet he hung on. And he said, let me go. It's daybreak. Jacob said, I'll not let you go unless you bless me. Sometimes, folks, we've got to wrestle with God and we've got to hang on for dear life, no matter what it looks like, no matter what other people say, no matter even sometimes what we think. But it's what the Word says. And when the Word says we need to wrestle, God, you said, I've said that to you many times, that when I pray and it seems like nothing's happened, I said, God, you said, I'm wrestling with God. God, you said, Jacob said, I'll not let you go unless you bless me. And the Lord blessed him, changed his name. No longer Jacob, but Israel. Folks, we've got to understand how important all of this is. Then later on, Peter said this. It's in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. It says, Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you. Anybody been tried by fire before? As though some strange thing happened to you. It's like, we're all surprised. Wow, why did that happen? He says, but rejoice to the extent that you are partaker of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. Doesn't the Word say that if you want to walk righteously and serve in God, that you will suffer persecution? Anymore, I'm not really surprised. Man, I've had so-called Christians attacking me. All I did one time is talked a little bit about the Holy Spirit as my friend. And he is my friend, and I count on him all the time. And this pastor met me afterwards, a little while afterwards. And he says, I believe in this, and I believe in that, and I believe in once saved, always saved. And he went on, what's that got to do with what I said about the Holy Spirit? See, folks, we all got a right to believe what we want to believe. Or not believe what someone else believes. And I don't take offense. You know, I got a Jehovah Witness come in my house about every week or two. In fact, we just met Saturday, and of course they like to talk, it's fleshly things, because they believe that they're not going to heaven and they're going to live on this earth, and they're partially right, because during the millennium we're going to live on the earth for 1,000 years. And as a church, as we've gone up, we're going to live that 1,000 years and longer on this earth. So he's half right. But what I keep bringing him back to is, if you're not saved, what does it all matter to you? And he kind of looked, well, I said, I don't care how much you know and what you think that's going to happen to you. I said, none of that matters if you're not saved, if you don't know Jesus, or if he don't know you, what good is it? So about 3 times I had to bring him back to that. So he said, he was there like an hour. You know how they come in a group? Well, they would let him off, they'd all leave. And he would just stay for the hour, and him and I would be able to talk. He said, you know, Jim, I'd like to come back and talk more. I said, well, yeah, I'd like to do that. He said, well, how about next Saturday? He said, I'll come when I'm not working for the church. And that way it'll just be a personal stop, you and me. I said, hey, that's great. You know, people might say, well, why are you talking to a Jehovah's Witness? Well, they have a right to hear about Jesus, right? And they work hard for what they believe. I wish we worked that hard of what we believe. Can you imagine going and knocking on doors and having the door slammed in your face most of the time? See, when him and I talk, I don't condemn him or talk down to him. I just listen to what he says. Yeah, I agree. I kind of see it this way, and I'll share my part, and then he comes back with his. But it's friendly conversation. It's neither of us putting the other one down or trying to do that. Folks, we've got to learn how to rub shoulders with the world, with the lost, without them dragging us down. So I enjoy meeting. At first, my wife would say, why you meet with him? Don't answer the door. I'm like, no, if the Lord sent him here, we're going to see what the Lord wants to do with this. See, folks, the importance is walking in grace. When all of these problems of the world and different situations happen to us, look at it as a point that God is trying to teach me something. So the last big problem you had, what'd you learn from it? See, we've got to learn from our mistakes, not just try to make it through. Always look, God, what are you trying to show me? James talks about what? Count it all joy. Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations and situations, and on he goes. Count it all joy, really. See, we can get to that point. That's what we're working for. We got to learn to see this differently. You see, God's in control of our lives if we give it to him. And then he will work through it. And doesn't it say all things work together for good to those that love God and to those that are called according to his purpose? See, he works all of those bad things out. He brings you through. If you notice, Peter went through his issue. We pray that we don't have to go through it. Right? We don't want to go through that. Man, don't take me through the mountain or over the mountain. Let's go around. And then you go around and around and around because God's trying to teach you something. So we need to see all of the issues of the world and the things that are going. See, God's trying to minister to the world through all of these problems. They don't know why it's happening and why it's happening to them. See, God's trying to wake them up. See, it's not his desire that any should perish, that all should come to the knowledge. Folks, see these things differently. See them all differently. It's like, God, what are you trying to teach us? What do I need to learn? That way I can be a better servant to you, Lord. See, we need to realize that God's in it all. When the disciples were told to go across, they ran into a storm. When you're told to serve God and walk with him, you go through a storm at times, right? But when Jesus seen them out there toiling in the middle of the lake, almost ready to sink probably, it says he walked to them. Folks, you want to meet Jesus? You want to have some real good time with Jesus? Seek him in the storm. Seek him in the storm. And you'll find out he's there for you. He said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. Never. Yeah. I got another page or so to go, but we're going to stop here. you're all used to quitting at 12 o'clock. Pretty well, right, Nathan? I wish I could do it that quick, but see, I'm not that smart. I got to use a lot more words. Will you pray with me? Father, thank you for your word. Lord, help us to realize you're in control. And may we learn to give you that control in our lives. And that we learn from all the problems that may come our way. Father, there's a lot for us to learn and a lot you want to teach us. So, Lord, thank you for your grace, your mercy, for the faith that you've given us, that we might trust you in everything. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for the work that you do in our lives. May we be blessed this day. And Father, I pray that these weren't just words that will fall to the floor, but rather it would take residence in the hearts and the minds of your people. Thank you, Father. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.